driving you home every afternoon. This is the 3HL with Brent Daugherty and Dawn Davenport.
Y'all, 104.5 The Zone, Brent Daugherty and Will Bowling with you, sitting in for the vacationing Dawn Davenport. Will, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. Good to be with you, gentlemen. JT, good to see your smiling face, as always, and good to be hanging out with you on a Friday. Happy weekend.
Phone lines open. Mark Mariani coming up at 4:15. We'll get his take on the NFL Final Four, Tampa Bay at Green Bay, Buffalo at Kansas City. We'll see if he has a blood in the water pick for you as well. Former Titan defensive coordinator Dean Pease, now the Falcons defensive coordinator. Do you have an issue with that? Is that a bad look for the Titans? If you can't get through, you can always get us on Twitter at 3HL1045. Of course, Tennessee AD Danny White had his introductory press conference today in Knoxville. Coaching search currently underway. Which coach do you want? We do have a poll question up on 3HL. We thought we'd ask, since the conversation kind of went that direction, but do you want Lane Kiffin as head football coach, yes or no? And 67% say yes. That number's holding pretty steady. We'll keep you updated. Lots of people calling in to say no. So online, yes. On the phones, no.
That checks out.
Yeah. Big reaction day here on Friday because it's been a big week. A lot going on. There is no doubt about that. Let's go back to the phones and to a very patient David, who is up next on 3HL. Hey, David, what's up, man? How are you? Thanks for hanging in there.
I'm doing great, guys. Enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you, sir.
Four names I've been contacted by somebody that told me. Herman from Texas, Campbell from Iowa State, Kiffin from Ole Miss, and the shocker, Frost from Nebraska.
Yeah, Frost is a name that – hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Frost is a name that has come up with friends of mine asking me about Scott Frost. And it's not going as well as he would like in Nebraska, but that's his baby. I don't think he's ready to move yet.
The Matt Campbell name really, really intrigues me.
I love that. I just don't know how realistic that is.
No, I don't think it is either. And that's a guy that could wait in a year and be the head coach at Michigan. Midwest guy, has spent a lot of time in that area of the country and in that culture of college football. He can wait and take his pick for anyone that he wants. Why Tennessee? Why now? Well, if they throw $7 million a year at him, $8 million a year, you're at least going to be able to have a conversation at that point. But, and I like Tom Herman too, honestly.
How funny would that be that if Tennessee goes Rick Barnes fired at Texas and then Tom Herman fired at Texas?
The problem is that the issues at Texas are also going to be a lot of the same issues at Tennessee, where there's pressure in-house in that athletic department with the boosters, the expectations there. If you can't work with the pressure at Texas, you're probably also not going to work with that pressure at Tennessee. You'd have to kind of evolve and change and be open to what Danny White wants to do with this athletic department. But I like it. I mean, if you're willing to adapt, if you're willing to do what Rick Barnes did and kind of change the way you recruit, change the way you do things, put a really good staff around you, I wouldn't mind it. I really wouldn't. I think him and Gus Malzahn both, I've kind of talked myself into, with where Tennessee is right now, you could do a lot worse than either of those guys.
I don't think Gus wants it, so there's that. It would be interesting if Gus got hired to see how quickly Kevin Steele was not on that staff. There are entertaining elements to, like, all of these candidates, except for Lance Leipold. There's really no entertainment for me there. Although, I think, given the history, you would have to put him on the list, right? Bruce Feldman did with us the other day.
Yeah, I think Leipold is the floor. Honestly, I think if a lot of people do not answer your calls, I think you know you have a yes in Lance Leipold, given his experience with Danny White, given what he's done at Buffalo. He's 24-10 in the last three seasons. I mean, look, I think we can agree, though, that if that's the floor, that floor is a lot better than what it's been the past couple cycles. I mean, Derek Dooley was the floor because of the timeline in which Lane Kiffin left. You didn't have any better options. So you were forced to go get a guy like a Derek Dooley when Lane Kiffin left because there's nobody left. You were so late in the cycle at that point. If that's your floor, a guy Leipold that's 146-39 in his head coaching career, has six national championships at the D3 level. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. It's not the hire I would make. I could get on board with it, though, if that's the floor.
So Bruce Feldman came on before Tennessee hired an AD, and he mentioned four candidates, and Lance Leipold was one of them. So that was before they named Danny White as AD. He also said this: I think it will be easier for Tennessee to hire a qualified AD than a football coach. So that was interesting the day before they were able to hire Danny White, who, by the way, Donde Plowman said today that she saw a ranking of top 20 ADs in America, and she said that Danny White was number four on that list, and that intrigued her. He also told the search firm that he thinks he could win a national title at Tennessee. That intrigued her as well.
As it should.
So we'll see. On Bruce's list, Will Healy, Bill Clark, Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah. A couple of those are on my list for Tennessee, five that I'll reveal.
Hit me with your top five right now, and then we'll get back into it in the 5 o'clock hour.
Here we go.
I want to know what your top five is.
So starting at number five, Lance Leipold. I said just a moment ago, he's the floor, led Buffalo to its first ever bowl win, ever. First ever bowl win. That means something. 2019, beat Charlotte 31-19 in the Bahamas Bowl, finished 8-5 that year, their third straight season of bowl eligibility and second straight bowl berth, both program firsts. I think you could do a lot worse. You're looking for a program builder who is going to help build the guts and the infrastructure of a functioning, successful football program over time. I think Lance Leipold fits that blueprint of building a football program. Number four, Tony Elliott, a guy who in all reports across everything today is one of the names that's being brought up. 41 years old. He's been at Clemson since 2011. I don't think that Tennessee needs to go the coordinator route. If they do, Tony Elliott is far and away the choice that you make.
100% agree. Yes.
And you saw how much they missed Tony Elliott in the playoff game against Ohio State, and seeing his value there. I think his connection to the NFL is what puts him on my list. The fact that the Dolphins and the Titans both have reportedly had interest in him coming to the NFL.
Seahawks, too.
Yeah, right. You get ahead of that curve if you can, because once a Joe Brady makes that jump from LSU to the NFL, he's not coming back until failed as a head coach.
Joe Brady would be a great option, too.
It would be. It absolutely would be. That's why I think if you're looking for the next Joe Brady, Tony Elliott is that guy, and you at least got to give him a shot before he jumps to the NFL, and then in 3 years is running a team like Cliff Kingsbury is and like Joe Brady probably is this time next year.
All right, what's number three?
Number three, a guy that I've not seen reported interest from Tennessee or from him, but a guy you absolutely call Tom Allen at Indiana.
I'm out on Tom Allen.
I think you make him tell you no because of how hard it is to win at Indiana.
True
and how,
that.
And how True well that. He is recruited in the SEC and in Florida. I have said this stat many times on my Ultimate Tennessee podcast here on The Zone. And here on The Zone Monday with Kevin Dyson said Tom Allen at Indiana recruited more players from the state of Florida to Bloomington, Indiana than anyone else in the Big Ten. It wasn't even close. I believe he had double the next team in Florida natives on his roster. I think the recruiting ties he has to the South, his experience at Ole Miss, I think he would be a good program builder as well. I have concerns, but I think you make him tell you no because you say, hey, Tom, remember when the Big Ten made sure that you couldn't play for a Big Ten title a couple months ago? Yeah, that's never going to happen here.
Here's my problem.
Not going to do that to you.
Here's my problem with Tom Allen, and I'm not including him in my five, and this is very superficial of me, but he looks like a 1928 Indiana high school basketball coach. And so I'm out.
That's why?
I'm out.
Okay, fair enough.
So there you go with me on Tom Allen. Number two.
Number two is Billy Napier. Another guy who Tennessee, I think, is going to have interest in. Initially, my reservation with Billy Napier was, been there, done that with Saban assistance. Let's not go back. I think that's unfair to him, quite honestly. Three seasons at Louisiana. He's 28-11. went 10-1 this past year, the one loss to a guy who I'm about to tell you about in a moment. You talk about program builder. The more reading I do about him, he's very meticulous in the notes he takes after games. He handwrites in notebooks, observations he had from practice, from games, stores all these notebooks in his office. I think he has the attention to detail and the personality and kind of the demeanor, I guess, to be a CEO kind of head coach, not just a ball coach, an offensive mind. I think he goes beyond that. I like him. I have some reservations about him with the Saban connection, with the Dabo Swinney connection, but I think he would be an excellent fit for Tennessee. Do I think he'd take the job? Probably not, but it's a call you've got to make.
All right, number one.
Number one, Anderson County High School's finest, Jamie Chadwell. Look, I've been on this boat for the past 2 months that the guy that you want is someone who, A, knows the region, knows the area, loves Tennessee. That's Jamie Chadwell fits those that criteria as well. 35-14 at Charleston Southern. Yes, he's going to get recognition for what he built at Coastal Carolina. This was not just a one-hit wonder for him. I don't understand that argument. And people saying, oh, well, he's only a good coach for 1 year. He built Charleston Southern into a powerhouse.
Some would say illegally.
Some would. Some wins vacated, some ineligible players.
18 of them vacated.
18 players. Yes.
And a conference.
I'm aware. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. You talk about program builders. This is not a guy who – you can't tell me that, oh, that's just another Butch Jones. Mid-major guy. Nope, I don't want the mid-major guy. Butch Jones was not the college football coach of the year. Jamie Chadwell was the college football coach of the year in the 2020 season.
That's right.
He's got a gadget kind of flexbone offense out of the shotgun that I think would be really, really fun to watch. He's my pick with his ties to the region, offensive guru, program builder, checks three important boxes. I think he should be the guy for Tennessee.
All right, real quick. Number five for me, Jamie Chadwell, as you just described. Charleston Southern vacated 18 wins in the Big South Championship. Violations range from playing ineligible players to athletes using scholarship money for books to buy electronics and jewelry. 2 year probation there. He also missed a game at Charleston Southern for violating NCAA social media rules. I really don't care, honestly.
That's bad to say, I don't either.
Yeah. And my question is with that spread option offense, which is, balances his desired goal. But I just wonder how that works if you're down, 30-0 and what that looks like and how pissed off you would be watching that offense. Number four, I've got Will Healy. Won 8 games in a row at Austin Peay in year 2 after the program had lost 34 out of 35 coming into his tenure. Really like what he did there. And also at Charlotte, they win 7 games in year 1. They had never won 7 games in a season, had never won 6 games in a season, went to their first bowl game. Billy Napier, number 3, he's not coming. As you said, he's waiting for something else. He didn't take overtures to Arkansas, South Carolina, Auburn. So I think he's waiting for something, maybe Florida. Number two on my list, Lane Kiffin, selfishly because of what I do for a living. And number one, Matt Campbell, who you're not going to get. But
right. And that
might as well play the lottery. Right.
That would be my number one, too. But it's not me. That's I'm going for people I know who are going to say yes. But
all right.
Probably outside Billy Napier.
Respond on Twitter at 3HL1045. We'll get back into it. When we come back, Mark Mariani will break down this NFL Final Four coming up this weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend of football, a fun Sunday of football. Does Mariani have a blood in the water pick? That's next on 1045.
Now, former Titans All-Pro Mark Mariani, presented by Sold by Mariani on 104.5 The Zone.
HL on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Will Bowling with you today until 6 o'clock. And we're going to talk some NFL action right now. Mark Mariani, presented by SoldByMariani.com, joins us now. What's up, Mark?
Let's go, baby. I don't know what your guys' clocks say, but mine says happy hour. It's almost the weekend.
Must be nice.
No, Siri, I don't want to talk to you. We got to land this thing, man.
You're in Eastern time zone? Is that where you are?
Hey, listen, I don't keep that close of time, but I can smell when the weekend's on the horizon, and it's coming.
Are you interviewing for the Tennessee head coaching job? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it sounds like anybody can have a crack at it. That's what the AD said. So, I mean, I got some qualifications. I was a 2-year coach at Lipscomb Academy. Let's go, Mustangs.
I know. You coached the wide receivers. You had like 2 receivers in your group. That was before Dilfer came.
Hey, we threw the ball like 4 times a game, and we set every passing record at the school, okay?
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the state championship game against CPA, I think they ran it 4 times.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, a lot changed real quickly.
For a different mindset. So we were talking during the break. So I want Lane Kiffin. Will Bowling doesn't want Lane Kiffin. You said he brings energy.
Hey, listen. I see what this guy can do as an offensive play caller. And, you know, I'm not one that holds grudges. I'm not one, you know, that I know he got in some trouble. I know he left and dumped the program after a year to go to USC. I get it.
Dumped is a good word for it.
I get it. But I don't hold grudges. And at this point in the program, you know, I've been in Nashville now for 10 years, so I'm surrounded not only by the SEC, but I'm you know, just by association, I got to be a UT fan. And it's gone through some troubling times, okay? And you got a guy who's taken every program he touches and done some good things with it in the last few years. Give the guy another shot, Will. Why are you holding on to this grudge?
Look, because the baggage he has does not justify hiring a coach who was 35 and 21 between Tennessee and USC. Like, if he had Hugh Freeze's resume – and had the wins over Saban that Hugh Freeze had without the NCAA stuff that Hugh Freeze has had and has the baggage, I'd be okay with it. I just don't think it's a business decision of does the baggage outweigh the talent. And I don't think it does. And he's got a lot of talent.
Is Hugh Freeze even eligible?
No. Well, no, he's not a possibility.
So let's talk about who's on the table here. Cause I, you know, if Belichick was available, we'd want him there too. It's like I
what
get
about
it,
Montana? Who's the Montana coach these days?
Oh, you know, my coach Bobby Houck went back and coached. He left and tried to chase. He tried to chase it, but he realized quick that Montana's his home, and he's back, man. They're creating some big things back up there. I mean, similar to UT, we've gone through some rough years. Okay, so we need to get back on that mountaintop as well.
All right. Well, so 2 big games on Sunday. This is going to be fun, man. And I love how these matchups have aligned with the veteran quarterbacks in the NFC and the young quarterbacks in the AFC. I think this is going to be a fun weekend, man.
I echo that. Just the matchups that we've gotten and the way this season has played out, how hot the Buffalo Bills have been down the stretch.
They've earned the
right to be here. Kansas City, I personally think Mahomes, you know, is more ready than we think. I think those tests were probably NFL protocol, and they probably took it easy on him. But at least from the outside looking in, I've seen a lot of guys get dinged up, and it just looked like it wasn't it wasn't a big one. And I'm not understating any of those things, but I just think he'll be at full speed, ready to throw that thing around the yard. And in the NFC, I don't think I mentioned this on the show, but somebody on this show placed a wager on Aaron Rodgers to be the MVP back in May. So those were good odds.
You're like, such a Derrick Henry hater. Listen to this.
This was in May. Okay.
Okay. So but here's the thing. CJ came on the show, Chris Johnson, yes. CJ2K. And here's what he said a few weeks ago. He said, Derrick Henry should win the MVP, but he won't. Aaron Rodgers will win it. And Derrick Henry will be named Offensive Player of the Year, which he said makes no sense to him. Like, how are you Offensive Player of the Year when another offensive player wins the MVP? But that's what they do to running backs, he said. He said, right. I didn't win an MVP. Derek's not going to win one either. And Derek was named NFL Offensive Player of the Year by the Pro Football Writers Association yesterday.
Yes, because he's a savage. And I said this was in May, which was leading me to my point of I'm stoked for the game at Lambeau Field. But you're right, and I think – you know, as much as I love our boys in two-tone blue, I think you take Derrick Henry off this football team and you see a much different.
You got problems.
Yeah, you see a much different 2 numbers and a dash behind our name. So it'll be a different record and a different season without him. But, you know, I totally agree. I think they need more consideration. And I also think that, you know, it was the same thing with Josh Allen. If he had, you know, 6 more games, he may have gotten hot enough to get it. But it's kind of what – it's the buildup. It's the press. It's all of it. I get it. No one can convince me that Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve it this year. Not that Derrick Henry doesn't, but I'm just saying. So anyways, I love the matchup of him against the GOAT, Tom Brady. The Bucs absolutely whipped the Green Bay Packers in Tampa this year. That game spiraled out of control. So you're right, Brent. These two matchups are going to be so fun. And, you know, we deserve this as NFL football fans, man. It's been a heck of a year, and now we're going in. And I think the kickoff is at 2:05. I can't freaking wait, man. I am so jacked for this.
Happy hour going to be early on Sunday?
Oh, very early. Very early.
Most of the hour.
Maverick goes down at 12:30, and you'll just hear the right after that.
That's pretty good.
That was a really good sound effect. I mean, that wasn't like that even one? Like a real beer.
Maybe I have one sitting here. You guys will never know.
There you go. Hey, before we dive further into those matchups, what do you think about Dean Pease coming out of retirement and going to Atlanta with Arthur Smith as defensive coordinator?
I mean, you know what? I think this happens a lot. I think taking a year off, getting your ducks in a row, it happens to a lot of guys. Clear your headspace. And, you know, I'm jealous, to be honest with you. I am interested to see who we will hire here in Tennessee, but kudos to Arthur Smith, dude. I would love to have been in that conversation. What a sales pitch that guy made. I mean, and we saw what Dean Pease did to this defense with the same personnel as last year.
Love it. No, we're good. Let's take a quick phone call real quick about that topic. Dean Pease to Atlanta. This is Aaron next up on 3HL. Aaron, what's up, man?
How's it going?
We're good.
So my question is, if we let Dean Pease go after all the good he did here in Tennessee over him having control of the defense, I wonder if we're going to have problems getting another good defensive coordinator in here, because they're going to want to have more control, and it sounds like Vrabel's not going to let them have any of that control. I just wonder what you guys' thoughts on that were.
I think Vrabel's going to call the offensive plays and the defensive plays. I think
that's what's going to happen. Well, I think
first
it's
time ever.
I think that's obvious. I think any great defensive coach that's even on the table is going to hesitate when you know that Vrabes is going to want a lot of control of that room. But I think we talked about it last week, and you guys weren't here, but I think Vrabel has got to look in the mirror and go, I got bigger fish to fry sometimes, and we regressed. You know, we gave him the kudos he deserved 2 years ago when he was pulling all the right strings, making all the right calls, all the clock management things, but we regressed in some of those decision-making things this year. It got us in trouble a couple times. And I think he needs to just go, hey, listen, I want to be an influence during the week and during preparation. But if he wants to get some savvy, experienced coach in here, he's going to have to give up some of that control.
Well, Aaron asked about the pitch too that you make, and I think even though it's been two offensive coordinators, if you're trying to get a coordinator on either side of the ball right now, Mike Vrabel's saying, hey, I've already created or helped create two head coaches in this league, in Arthur Smith and Matt LaFleur. Spend some time in my coaching factory and see where you end up on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. I think that certainly applies more to the offensive coordinator position, because whoever his OC is going to be is going to be the head coach of the offense. But I think if you're looking for a pitch, like Aaron, the caller asked, that's the pitch you make on either side.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. But I also think it's going to be a way different dynamic than, you know, with – let's look at Arthur Smith in Atlanta. He right. calls Dean Pease and says, it's your defense. Do whatever you want. I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to have – you're going to have all control. You can do personnel, whatever. And you know, he brings in Dave Ragone as an OC. You better believe Arthur Smith is going to have a lot of control of that offense and maybe even call plays or whatever, however it shakes out. And that's the same thing here.
Yeah.
That's the same thing here. So it's a little different dynamic, and you know, Vrabes, he's got a little bit of ego is the wrong word, but he wants to keep control and he wants to have a say. So it'll be interesting. We'll see how this all shakes out.
No, I think 100% that's the right word.
Well, I mean, it's that ego can have some kind of a negative thing sometimes. And I'm just saying he wants that control. It's his defense.
It's just matter of fact. There's no negative.
You've got to have a healthy amount of ego to be a head coach in the NFL.
No question. No question.
All
right, so let's go back to these games. Buccaneers at Packers, man. I love what Aaron Rodgers has done this year. He said, you know what? You guys are going to draft a quarterback in the first round. Well, guess what? I'm going to go win the MVP, and we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, and they finally get a game. We finally get an NFC championship at Lambeau Field, and there's going to be no one there or very few people there.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a dogfight, man. I have been blown away by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially that defense. I always want to say Devin Bush, but Devin White and Lavonte David are absolute savages.
Lavonte David, a free agent, by the way.
Lavonte David and Devin White are flying around. They're making every play. It's just, it's been so fun to watch. I think it's the number one ranked rushing defense in the league.
2 years in a row.
Yeah, and I mean, they are just monstrous. So that is going to be a challenge. And, guys, I watched every snap of that game in Tampa Bay this year against the Packers. They flat out got after Aaron Rodgers. So all that to say, I am on the Packers. It'll be fun with Tom Brady and his weapons, but I just love what Aaron Rodgers is doing, man. He's taken, he's got Davante Adams, obviously, who's an all-world wide receiver, but he's taken a bunch of these role guys and made them absolute, playmakers. He's got Valdez-Scantling. He's got Aaron Lazard. And he's got these guys making plays, and they got a running game. And don't sleep on this defense either. So, anyway, I like the Packers in the tundra, but I mean this matchup. I mean, if this doesn't get you fired up, you're talking about the wrong game here. This is going to be a heavyweight matchup.
Let me go into the AFC Championship game. Mahomes, as you said, got cleared. He announced that he got cleared from concussion protocol. Does have something going on with his foot, though. May be a concern. Buffalo red hot. Love the way Josh Allen's playing right now. They've got zero run game. They ran 27 consecutive plays to start the game last week. Passes, all of them.
And how massive of a contrast is that to week one of this year, or the first quarter of the season for the Buffalo Bills? Yeah. I mean, you never saw that. I did not see that coming, that they are just going to throw the ball 90% of the time. They have been totally a smash mouth football team. Punch you, smack you, play defense, grind it out, and now they're just blowing up the scoreboard with their passing game.
It's like when Rocky started the fight left-handed, remember? And then they was like, now! And he switched to right-handed.
That was half their season.
It started whooping everybody's ass.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If I had a blood in the water pick, Mark Mariani, and correct me if I'm wrong, I would go Buffalo Bills money line.
Well, listen, I'm glad you brought that up. We can have that conversation right now, because I wouldn't step on this microphone with these AirPods. I wouldn't step onto the show without a locked and loaded blood in the water pick. And it, for those that listeners, they know the rules. For all you newbies, it has to be an underdog. It has to be a money line plus value bet, if you know what that means. And to be honest, guys, I got one for you. And I believe that all the talk about Bills Mafia is just that. It's talk, bro.
Uh-oh.
You want a plus line bet? Take the Chiefs -7.5 for +195. Let's go. They're handing out money, baby.
The Chiefs, this
is all they care about. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're coming back for it. They got all these guys banged up. But guess what? The one thing that we keep overlooking about the Kansas City Chiefs is this defense, dude. This defense with Tyrann Mathieu and all their the back end of this defense, they get after the passer in the middle of the offensive line. And I'm telling you, I love the Bills. I've lost a lot of money betting against them this year, but I just think they run out of Cinderella luck this week. And I think Josh Allen has a tough time. That's just where my head's at as we sit here right now. And that's your blood in the water, because it's +195.
+7.5 for 195.
Well, you have to take the alt line, and the alt line is always -7.5, because seven is the number you want to be at.
Yeah.
Both these games are definitely something's got to give games. And the fact that the Chiefs are 1-8 against the spread since week 9, and have not won a game by more than 6 points since week 8 versus the New York football Jets, that makes me think they are due to get a couple turnovers and Mahomes throws for 300 plus yards and they figure it all out and it clicks. I like the pick a lot. I'm with you.
Yeah. Listen, Stephon Diggs and that offense for the Bills has been making magic happen, especially the last 6 to 8 weeks. But I just love Andy Reid in this situation. I think Pat Mahomes goes out there and does his thing, and these guys have been there. And so, does the Buffalo Bills young team, does that show? I think McDermott has these guys playing really, really well and disciplined. So maybe that might carry them through. But I'm just looking at it and going, it's just a heavyweight fight. And I think the Bills just have a little less ammo in this one.
Green Bay, 29 degrees, 60% chance of snow. I love it. I hope we get it. All right. Sold by Mariani.com. You are presented by that wonderful organization. What you got going on?
Big company. The boss sent me down here to tell you guys, you know, big things happening in the Nashville market. Sold by Mariani.com. We're buying. We're selling. We're creating passive income streams for investors. We are now in the development world. We're developing some townhomes in East Nashville. If you're interested in short-term rentals for investment properties, give us a call. We're at soldmymariani.com. Get on there, hit me up. It goes straight to my cell phone, straight to my email. There's no assistance. There's no nothing. I'll pick up the phone and start working for you. Let me know. Nashville market's hotter than ever.
Love it. Soldbymariani.com, at Mark Mariani 80 on Twitter. Mark, love you, bro.
You guys,
say hello to the boss for us.
Will do. Have a great weekend, my friends. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. 12:30. That's when the party starts at the Mariani house. hey, phone lines back open. Your reaction to the week. That's what's going on until the end of the show. Former Vols reaching out to Danny White on Twitter. We've got that. Alvin Kamara, the latest. 615-737-1045. Free HL 104.5 The Zone. Shoot Your Shot presented by Daddy Rack Tennessee Straight Whiskey. It's an easy one this weekend. You can go NFL games if you want to. Who's going to win? You can shoot your shot that way. Packers, Buccaneers, or Bills, Chiefs. Maybe you want to go with a little octagon action, or maybe you want to shoot your shot with regard to who will be the Tennessee coach. FootballScoop.com. Zach from FootballScoop.com told us yesterday he wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee deal was done by Monday. So
I like it. I like the sound of that a lot.
There's that. Brent Doherty, Will Bowling with you. But Shoot Your Shot presented by Daddy Rack Tennessee Straight Whiskey. Try some this weekend and let us know. 615-737-1045. You want to shoot your shot. 615-737-1045. Some former players and some current players weighing in on the hiring of Danny White. Again, really surprised that Tennessee was able to get it done that quickly. I'd heard the goal was by the weekend, but we hear about a Zoom call that occurred on Wednesday, and then the search firm told him, hey, that Tennessee group will be in your living room tonight, so get ready. So they moved, and then they named him Thursday. So they moved fast with Danny White. But some positive reaction in social media from current and former players. Alvin Kamara tweeting, congrats. At UCF Danny White. Need to change that Twitter handle, huh? Holla at me. I got a few ideas. I would listen to Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to have a conversation with that kid. Everything I hear about him, I haven't talked to him, but everything I hear about him is how intelligent he is and how much fun he is to talk with.
Go split a box of Airheads and talk about Tennessee athletics.
That's right.
That's what Alvin Kamara does. No, I agree. That's certainly a call you make, a call, I don't know, or a conversation. I don't know if it's happening now or if it's already happened, but Daryl Middleton, Tennessee defensive lineman on Twitter, there was actually, I don't know if you saw this part. I know we've talked about a couple of tweets that he had. Somebody tweeted at him, Lane Kiffin, ? And he responded with five of the speaking emojis, which, I'll just translate into 20-year-old speak. Means yes, means absolutely. Keep talking. So an interesting response from a current Tennessee volunteer about some confidence in Lane Kiffin possibly being Tennessee's next head coach, even though I do not agree, but that's all right.
Daryl Middleton digs the hiring of Danny White as well. And yeah, the first thing he said today, not the first thing he said today, but one of the first things he said was that he was going to meet with a group from the team. He said it's hard to meet with 100 players, but he wants to meet with the leadership group of the team and kind of see what's been going on, see what they feel like they need as he embarks on his search. Again, you don't become a new AD without having a list already in the interview process. And what I hear is it's an offensive-minded deal, which is smart, right? I mean, because that's the part you need to fix. If there's a tire fire going on, you want to, I think, attack the offensive side of the football because that's where you can excite people, right? Like Ole Miss was awful on defense, right? But they were so exciting on offense. Not that I'm going back down the lane train. I'm just using them as an example. That fans got excited to watch Ole Miss football, right? Like, I'm not an Ole Miss fan, but when they were playing, I turned it on because I wanted to see that offense roll. So that's exactly the path I would go down if I were Danny White.
No, I'm with you. I think that's the path to winning in college football now.
Yeah,
and the NFL. I don't think the days of or Nick Saban has adapted better to that than anybody.
Yeah,
they're not scoring 20 to 24, 20 to 30 points a game and winning national championships now. They're putting up 60 on a regular basis and put up 52 against Ohio State in the national championship game. So I think that's the next wave of college football. And two, you're always going to overcorrect to the opposite of what you just had when you make a hire. When Tennessee hired Jeremy Pruitt, they were overcorrecting from the cliche kind of CEO, quote unquote, we're going to create and build a program brick by brick. And then they just went and got a ball coach. Now they're going to go not only to the other side of the ball and from a defensive mind, they're going to go with the CEO again. And I think a CEO who has an offensive mind instead, partly because you're overcorrecting the other side. Yes. Partly because that's just the most intelligent thing now that you can do in football at any level.
615-737-1045. If you want in at 3HL1045, we were talking about Lane Kiffin, and Will is completely against the idea of Lane Kiffin becoming Tennessee coach. I'm all for it, but selfishly, it's because I do what I do for a living.
Right.
So we put a Twitter question, a poll question up. Vol fans, do you want @Lane_Kiffin? Almost 1,000 votes in, 64% yes, 36% no. So you're convincing some people. It was at 67-33 for a while. So
that's what I like to hear.
Yes. Your pandering has gotten you 3% there. So we'll keep up with that. 615-737-1045. Some of the things said today, Danny White's introductory press conference, Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics, Dr. Danny White. Dr. Danny White doesn't sound right, does it?
It doesn't. I guess you're right.
Dr. Danny.
That's a very esteemed title. And then I think of someone named Danny. I think of like a kid, like a Dr. Dan would work.
Dr. Danny sounds like a character in Full House when he went to the bar. Would call
it's like an afternoon television show about a kid that becomes a doctor that I would not watch. That's what that sounds like.
Tennessee was aggressive in hiring Danny White. He said, quote, we need to be aggressive to get where we need to get. He said he grew up in athletics. We have a long history in college athletics. His dad is the AD, Kevin White at Duke, one of the more respected guys in the business. His sister, an assistant AD at SMU. His brother at Florida Atlantic did overlap with Lane Kiffin one year in 2019. He's the athletics director there. And his brother is Mike White, the basketball coach at Florida. And what's interesting is everything I heard about Danny White is he's got this outgoing personality. He's an in-your-face guy. He's an outside-the-box thinker. And then I think about Mike White on the sideline at Florida, and you barely even notice him. Like, I mean, completely different personality types there. He said, I'm student-athlete-centric. I want all of our student-athletes to hear that. Ask the UCF student-athletes about that. He said, I actually like the fact that the brand needs to be polished a little bit. He said he's excited about the rebuild challenge. He said if that didn't need to happen, he wouldn't be there. He said if everything was humming here to that point, I wouldn't be standing here. The challenge of fixing it and building it is what attracted me. Also, the alignment of the power structure, which we spent time on in the first segment of today's show, that they are solidly in line, seemingly, for the first time in a long time, with Don DePlowman as Chancellor, Randy Boyd as president. Really sharp guy, really smart guy as well. So that's another thing that drew him to the job. He said he was meeting with the football team today, wants to hear from them about what they want in a coach. He said he was asked about the coaching search process. He said it starts and ends with the student athletes. He didn't expound on that answer. He said it wouldn't make sense to. He said, I hate to lose. I want what the fans want. I'm asking for their trust to get this done. He wants Vol fans to eliminate. And this was interesting today. He and Don DePlowman both said this. They want Vol fans to eliminate the negative social media chatter. So y'all Tennessee fans that are listening to us right now, your hierarchy doesn't want any of y'all to throw negativity on social media, okay? You got it?
That.
Oh, I mean, they said it, so it's done.
Yeah, the way you eliminate negativity, win. Just go win games. Let that take care of itself.
It'll still be there.
I know, and I get where he's coming from, and he's absolutely right. But that's maybe the one thing I had an issue with in the press conference. And again, he's 100% right, especially with Tennessee fans. But well, Lord knows.
For them to spend time on that means that they view that as a problem, which is really interesting because you would think that a person in a chancellor role wouldn't be affected by social media chatter. But
being able to tells you a rock. Being able to paint the rock is a bad thing for Tennessee during searches.
I mean, there was a McDonald's bag on the rock like 3 days ago.
Oh, no. I mean, it's this. These are the people that we're dealing with.
There was something about bring Lane home on the rock.
There was. Look, and I made this point on my podcast Tuesday. The students at UT who are chanting and painting the rock and talking about bring Lane home, they were what, six when Lane left in 2009? I mean, truly, like yeah, good point. They don't remember.
I should tell
that.
You about Lane Kiffin. So he's matured, Will Bowler.
Oh my gosh! I mean, look, I was in seventh grade when
you're
Lane
painting
Kiffin
the picture of a child on the sideline that would like throw clipboards if the play worked.
I mean, so
let's
you're
be real.
You're talking about people, I guess, that are 6 years younger than me that are starting college, five to six years younger than me. They were seven. Talking like seven or eight when Lane Kiffin left. They don't remember that. They think they do. They don't. It's time to maybe like put some caution tape around the rock until you're announcing a new head coach hire. That's all I have to say.
Here's some of what Daryl Middleton also said about real quick about Danny White being hired. He met with the team this afternoon, and Daryl Middleton said this. This is from Vols Wire. We believe this is for the better. Middleton said this guy's a player's coach, not an AD. He flew in 5 hours ago and put on an impression that will have everyone interested in seeing what he brings to the table. Vol Nation, let's welcome him. So
I like it.
That's from a player who went through the meeting. So interesting stuff there. Great hire, seemingly, on the AD front. We'll see what they do with the head coach. Who would you choose? Shoot Your Shot, presented by Daddy Rack, Tennessee Straight Whiskey. More of your phone calls when we come back. Entire 5 o'clock hour is your reaction to what's going on. 615-737-104.